This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com.
Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Mark and the Money Podcast, episode 121. Wow. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. And we are so happy you have joined us. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website at rockonthemoney.com. What is up, girl?
Hey, you know, I can't think of anything new that's happening.
I can. What's happening? It was your birthday.
Right. Last week.
Well, happy birthday, girl.
Oh, thank you.
That's awesome. You're closing in on my age.
Yes, the second COVID pandemic birthday I've had, because mine's in March, so.
Yeah, but next year's going to be great. You know? Yeah, I don't plan to do a lot of traveling this year, if any at all.
You know, I'm not planning on it, but I am really getting the itch.
I am too. And I need to do some traveling before July. And I just need to pick a place on the map and go.
Tampa's always nice.
Hey, I'll come down there for have dinner with you guys, then I'll fly right back. How about that?
There you go.
Hey, I'm in. No, I have to get on an airplane and get re-acclimated to an airplane before I go to retraining in July. So I literally have to get on a plane. I haven't been on a plane since April, Amanda. And I work for an airline.
Yeah,
that's weird.
And well, so I went to Colorado earlier this month, but yeah, otherwise it had been a year for me. So I was even thinking maybe I take a road trip this summer or something, but yeah, I don't know. It's driving me bonkers. I usually go on a trip every other month, so this is crazy.
What we got on this podcast?
We have a number of additional social media questions from our fabulous online group.
Well, let's just jump into these fabulous online questions. Number one, I'd be very interested to know what your end of life pre-planned funeral arrangements are, financially speaking.
Yeah, I don't have any. And I actually don't recommend prepaying for your funeral expenses.
And that's actually why I included the question, because that's the answer. Yeah. We don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that funeral directors are out to get you or anything. It's just that your situation may change between when you pay and when you die. So prepaying a funeral, it's just generally not a good idea, especially if you're, well, I guess you never know when you're going to die, right?
So you could be
many, many years off from your final breath, and maybe your family moves to a different location. If you prepaid for a funeral that's 2,000 miles away from everyone, that's super inconvenient for everyone, right? And
right.
It's really not about your convenience at that point.
Exactly.
Now, I don't mind prepaying for like a plot if that's where you want to be buried, that I don't hate.
Like next to another spouse, or if there's the family is all in the same.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also can be dangerous too. I mean, what if you're remarried? You want to really be buried next to your ex-wife or, I shouldn't say ex, but next to your first wife.
Yeah, my bones would not like that. No.
I don't think your second or third wife or whatever would appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a little awkward.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't want to prepay, there may be costs associated with it that you wouldn't have otherwise paid. So yeah, prepaying is not a good idea. The best idea is to have money set aside for that your friends and or family can use once that moment arrives.
Yeah. Now, I have made it very well known. I want to be cremated. I don't want to waste money on a funeral.
Yep. Me too.
Whatever the state requires, whether it's a pine box or cardboard, put me in there, fry me up, if you want to put me in a necklace or plant me in a tree, or that's fine. But I don't want an expensive casket that goes in the ground. I'd rather them take that money and have a celebration of life. If they want to have a party, hire a rock band, hire Def Leppard. I don't care. Have a good time, but don't waste the money on funeral services.
Right. Now, the important thing to do is have a beneficiary to your account where you're saving that money that they can have access to those funds very quickly after you pass away, rather than waiting for it to go through the estate and probate. Because if you don't have money that's accessible to your friends and family, then they'll have to pay it and then seek reimbursement from your estate later on.
How about we make that as homework? I retired from the fire department. We found out there's a bunch of county employees that have a 457 account, which is a government version of 401k. Mm-hmm. Many of them never put down a beneficiary down, or they had a divorce or something changed in their lifestyle. It did not update the beneficiary. Everybody yeah. should go through everything that they have, make sure their beneficiaries are current and up to date. That's actually a little bit of work, but you'd be surprised how many people, and this has happened in our fire department, people have a divorce and they forgot to update it. And then when they died, the ex got ended up with all the money and the current wife got nothing.
Right. Yeah.
That happens
so
a lot.
There's a couple of ways that you can do. So one, like I mentioned, is you can set up what's called a trust, a Totten trust, mm-hmm. which isn't actually a trust. It's just a regular bank account with a designated pay on death inheritor. So when you open the account, you name a relative or friend or even the funeral home, if you are completely positive that that's where you're going to use it, but friend or family is usually a better idea. As the beneficiary, then you put in the money and collect interest. And then you can still close the account anytime you want or transfer it to a different bank or change the beneficiary, just like you would any normal bank account. But then when you die, the beneficiary collects the account balance and pays for the funeral. The other option is that you buy a life insurance policy with proceeds that are earmarked for funeral expenses. Again, make sure you have named beneficiaries and alternate beneficiaries in case something happens to your first beneficiary.
Yeah, there you go. Question number two. I love this question. I love the hustle of this question. My 16-year-old son and his friend are detailing cars. Any advice on liability or what kind of insurance we need to get?
Yeah, so my recommendation is umbrella insurance, which mm-hmm. is really a liability insurance right. policy. So that's something that would cover and protect your yep. assets if your teen does something that would create liability against you. Because here's the thing, it's not your teenager that's going to be liable, it's you
right,
who are liable.
Right.
That's how the law works. Right. You're responsible for your minor's actions and their acts that create liability. So you need the umbrella insurance to protect you, your assets, your home, any of that from any liability that your teenager may create.
Yeah, using the wrong chemical on a seat and ruin the leather or something like that, and then they have to pay for it. But the reason why they're not going to go after a 16-year-old because they have no assets. You mm-hmm. have the assets. You have a house. You have cars. You have bank accounts. That's who they're coming after. So, question number three. Tell me what you guys do when you see something you've wanted for years and now you can afford it right now, but won't purchase because you plan on being an everyday millionaire.
So obviously travel is my big thing. So yeah. I would love to take a trip like to Antarctica at some point. But
oh, yeah.
not only is that money, that's also you have to have time.
Yeah.
And I just can't get 2 weeks off from work at the same time. So that's one of those, hey, when I'm finally in a place where I can retire, maybe I'll take that. So yeah, I don't know. I don't really have any other things because I probably don't allow myself to dream like that. Because of the same thing where it's just continue to grind so that someday I can live like no one else.
My issue is I'm afraid to spend money.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to get out of that. And of listening to Dave Ramsey's show, there's people that call in and they list all their stuff. And mm-hmm. he's telling them, look, it's okay. But they're afraid to because they've worked so hard and they don't want to screw it up.
Right.
And I'm afraid to use it. I don't know how to get out of that. I probably need to talk to a psychiatrist. Yeah. So I don't know. I get that when people call in, and apparently it's very, very common. You work so hard, you build it up, and you end up living a lifestyle that you're okay with. And then you're like, well, what am I supposed to do with all this money now?
Yeah. Well, my husband's the same way. So he often has a list of things that he really, really wants, but he'll never spend the money to buy it for himself. So I always have a list of things I can get him for his birthday, right? Like right. the Oculus Quest. He would never spend that money on himself. Or a GoPro. Oh my gosh, right. I heard about that stupid GoPro, how much he wanted it for like years.
In the grand scheme, it's not that much money either, right?
No, it's a couple hundred dollars,
right.
but so that's a lot of money,
Yeah, it is.
But I tried to tell him, you're never going to use it, and no one ever is going to want to sit and watch your videos.
Or look at your photos.
I mean, he does try to use it from time to time, but yes, it's like anything else. So, but it's the same thing here. You know, like my husband got me a really great pair of new sunglasses for my birthday, and they're terrific. It was a great idea. I needed new ones. My old ones are many, many years old, and the lenses are starting to, you know, show the wear and tear. And I'm returning the sunglasses, even though they're great, because I found the exact same pair on the outlet website for half the price. So
there you go.
It's like, yeah, it was a great gift, but I can get a better price on it.
I think the gist of that is you work so hard and you know there's a big payoff at the end if you just stick with the plan. Don't waste your money buying stupid things that you don't need, like a GoPro. That really doesn't do nothing. Nobody's going to look at your videos. Just stick with the plan and live like no one else in the end. It does pay off. It really does. I mean, it really does. And not many make it to that point. You know why? Because they keep buying stupid things.
Right. Now, if I, so like cosmetic procedures, that's what I would spend it on. Like LASIK eye surgery, I had that done. And that was, to me, worth every penny.
I agree. I agree. That's a lifestyle thing.
Yeah. So if it's going to significantly improve my lifestyle, so that's just one example, then I find a way to get comfortable with spending that money.
Perfect. All right. Let's take a quick break. And we got three great questions. I like the next one coming up. Number four is kind of related to just this one we just did. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Hey there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to three qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Hey, Amanda, welcome back. RockOnTheMoney.com. Hey, it's Amanda and Craig, and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/RockOnTheMoney. I have a question number four for you.
Okay.
Hopefully we don't make this too long. But Amanda, what helped you get through baby step two? That's the toughest step.
Yes. So I would say seeing the list of debt, like the list of places that were owed money from me, shrink. That was very exciting. Mm. So for example, I had, you know, when you take out student loans, it's like you get a new loan every single year. So yeah. I had like seven student loans, even though it was all to the same exact lender, you know, the US government or whatever.
Right.
But it's seven different ones. And so when you tackle the smallest one first and it disappears, it's so satisfying to see zero balance on one and then you only have like five left. So that was really exciting to get rid of that debt quickly. So the snowball method in my mind definitely works.
Yeah.
The psychological payoff. That's just really motivating.
I mean, recently I put myself into baby step two on my own. Paying off my kids' student debts.
Yeah.
I put myself in there after I was retired. I went to work two full-time jobs. I was literally working 7 days a week, always on an airplane, either working for the airline or working for another travel hospitality company, but, you know, just wearing a suit. So literally, yeah. I'm on the plane, same plane every day. And I listed everything on a spreadsheet. I did this snowball method. And just like you said, when you see it working and that thing plummeting, I mean, obviously I could take every paycheck 100%, which is a totally different situation. because I already had my retirement, but I would refuse to touch it. I took 100% of those checks and threw it at it. And watching it plummet, it really drove me to work that way for 2 years.
Yeah.
Six digits gone. I didn't buy myself a single thing there during that whole entire time. But yeah, being able to watch the balances move when it never moved before, when you actually put everything towards it, everything you have inside, it does move. And when it goes down, you start really getting motivated. Kind of like losing weight, right?
Yes. Same thing. I wish I could get as motivated for that.
Oh my God.
So the other thing that I find really motivating is kind of a negative. The flip side of that is pull out your bill and actually look at how much money each month or each time you pay it is going towards interest, because that's just money down the toilet. Like, that's not going to anything that you bought or anything that you got the benefit of. That's purely a benefit to your lender. So when I look at my mortgage on my primary home, and half of my mortgage payment is for interest. And actually, when you start out a brand new mortgage, it's much higher than that. You're barely paying anything on principal. But when you look at hundreds, almost $1,000 in interest every month, you're like, oh, that's making me nauseous, right?
Yeah.
I need to get rid of $12,000 a year in interest, because that's crazy. That's like a new... So in my mind, I start to think, well, what could I buy with that interest money instead that would be enjoyable? Or just in general, like, what's the value of that? So when I look at $12,000 in interest a year for a home, that could be a new car, you know, like a nice, simple new car for my son or something, you know, like, or even for no one. It's just kind of putting a value on it so that you say, okay, why am I wasting a new car's worth of money each year? Because that's what it is. It's a complete waste. Until you get rid of that interest payment, it's just going down to the garbage disposal.
And that is a whole different argument or conversation that people have. Well, my interest rate's only 2%. I should have a mortgage. But if you really look how much money... Even 2%.
It's high, yeah.
It's amazing. And people are like, well, I'd rather have that money making money. So they're saying, well, I'm only paying 2% here, but then I can make 8% over here. I mean, mm-hmm. I understand all that. But the whole idea 8%
on a smaller balance is probably less than 2% on a much higher balance.
And the whole idea to be debt-free completely 100% is your most powerful wealth-building tool is your income. The more money you can take to put into investments when you have zero debt, everything gone, that is what will catapult you up there. And it's all math. But I know people are going to do all these analyses and it's a big argument, but you really should try to be debt-free, especially by the time you hit retirement. You don't want a mortgage when you're retired. You want to have freedom from all that stuff. If you can at least do that, be debt-free by the time you hit like 50, 55, be completely out of everything. You know, the freedom to travel and everything after that is amazing.
Or just live without having to survive on cat food.
And that is a real thing. We've talked about that. And think about that. Nobody owns you. Nobody can take anything away from you. You are completely in charge of your life. 100% in charge. That's you can't replace that feeling.
Question 5. Yes. I have a 401k at my work. I'm heading into the investing category. I don't know what that means. Should I ramp up my 15% investing into the 401k, splitting it between the Roth and traditional pre-tax, or look into finding another investment firm to break it up?
Oh my goodness, this is a common question. And our answer is 100% Roth.
Yeah, I don't understand why we're splitting unless your income level is too high to make you ineligible for a separate Roth IRA.
There's all these arguments on Facebook. Oh, I need to have traditional money. I have to have Roth money. They have to all that. Here's where the traditional money comes from, like one place I work for currently. Mm-hmm. The company match. If you have a company that has a company match in their 401k, the company match money actually is traditional. That's fine. Leave it over there or convert it. You want to have Roth. Your money goes in, it's already been taxed. Anything gained from that point forward is tax-free. Roth is the best way to go because it's a tax-advantaged account. No, you don't need to go to an investment firm to break it up. You don't need to do 50% of that. 100% Roth. But I've seen these conversations all over the place. And no, we don't. Mm-hmm. There's really no benefit to doing traditional. Here's 6. You've answered this many times before.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all on you. You've even done Savvy Savings, I think. What are the best ways to save for a kid's college education?
So the most obvious way is a 529 college savings, or I guess it's an educational savings account, because you can use it even for pre-college or alternative college alternatives. So it has to be just a qualified educational expense. So 529 is a great route to go. It's like a Roth IRA almost, in a sense, where you don't pay money on the gains as long as, or you don't pay tax on the gains, I should say, as long as you're using the money for qualified educational expenses. And you can withdraw the contributions at any time without any penalty.
And here's something that people don't realize. You can get into any state 529. You don't have to use one in your state. There are benefits to doing it in your state. There are some states that are actually better than others. Like Utah is actually one of the best, and they have all Vanguard products in there. So based on what the products that you can invest in, it's kind of like you said, an IRA. You put money in there, but then you have to pick your funds.
Yeah, and in that sense, it's almost like a 401k, because 401k, in a 529 plan, you have a very limited set of funds that you can select from, and most of them are like a target date, except instead of the target being your retirement year, the target is the year that your child would begin their their post-high school education.
Yeah, Meyer, you're absolutely correct. And Utah is actually one of the best ones out there, believe it or not. And they use the very low-cost Vanguard funds, which we like. So you really got to look and see what your state advantage is. Sometimes if you live in that state, there's advantage with using your 529, but are the investment products within there worth that advantage on your taxes, or should you go to another state?
Right. So. And so you can either go through a state run plan, like here in Florida, they have Florida prepaid education. And so you can either prepay the tuition under a plan, and or you can set up a Florida 529 plan, and it's all done through the same Florida prepaid fund. Or you can go to your local or your online banker, and a lot of them offer 529s as well. Like Schwab has a 529 plan available.
Now, people are probably wondering, with the previous statement I said in the podcast, well, why didn't Craig use a 529? Well, my kids were actually entering high school when 529s came about in the 90s and in the early 2000s, because these things have not been around forever. So by the time they came out, the monthly cost to go in was prohibited. You know, because it's based on your kid's age, how much you put into it. It was too high. That didn't make a difference. It was too late for their ages. So it's really designed to start early. And remember, time is on your side. So it was too late. So we were pretty much screwed at that point. So, that's just reality of it. So that's why I did not use a 529 at the time.
One route. And then I guess I kind of glossed over the fact that a lot of states do offer prepaid tuition plans.
Yes, they do.
And those are really great options as well. You can prepay and lock in the tuition rate of today for your child's education, you know, 15, 20 years from now, when presumably the tuition costs are going to be much, much higher, because those rates go up like sometimes even 18% per year. So that's also a great option to prepay now. And that's set on a monthly payment plan as well, between now and the target year that your son or daughter would be starting their education. And they're not limited to using that prepaid tuition to just their state school, but that's the way you get the maximum benefit from it. So if they end up choosing a school that's not a state school, you can still take that money and transfer it to a different school and pay for the credits directly, or just use the balance for educational expenses.
There you go.
So it's not lost money.
There you go. All right. Well, that was really full episode. Thank you very much, Amanda.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at @AgileAmanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at RocklandUSA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.